Phantom fans, welcome to Season 6, Episode 23 of the Dump and Chase podcast. On this week's show, we'll break down a four-game road trip, then do everything we can to forget about it. And we'll look ahead to a big matchup at Covelli this weekend with the Madison Capitals coming to town. And we welcome back Clark Cup Finals MVP Jacob Fowler. The Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dump and Chase podcast. I'm Dan.
I'm Justin.
And I helped.
Thank you, Sam, for all your help. In case no one has probably told you that.
All right, we're back here. Took a week off. Dan, how'd your procedure go? How are them double D's treating you?
I'll give you some double D's. I'm healing up pretty well. Thank you, Sam. I did like the comment from the peanut gallery saying I should have got the leg extensions.
Yeah, that was insulting. I resembled that remark. But no, took the week off. We are back now. One thing we didn't miss, but Justin, happy belated birthday.
Ah, thank you. You know, you're getting old when you need the money the next morning for a chiropractor and not bail.
Hey, you're looking great for 78. I had to go back and keep track. Every time I say the number out loud, I keep going higher. So I have to make sure where I'm at from the last time. By the end of the show, you'll be 87.
used to be a good number.
Speaking of birthdays and anniversaries, this show first airing on the 26th, this coming Friday, March 29th, will actually be the show's 5-year anniversary. Now, we kind of went ham wild with it last year because it was also the 100th episode. Really ain't going to be doing anything too crazy this year show-wise, but we did get the news that the game this Friday against Madison, since that is the five-year anniversary of the show, we are dropping the puck that night.
How about that?
Definitely interesting. Something I haven't done before. You have.
I have, Sam, but yeah.
Was not expecting that in the least.
Idea I had and worked with the front office, was able to get it done. So like I said, it was a little anniversary present to you guys. I've got to do it before. You guys haven't got to do it yet. So you guys were way more excited over the phone about this a few days ago. Is this that much of old news already? Or
it's been a long week, Sam. A long week.
But yeah, we did take the last week off, but last Wednesday, Dan, you weren't there. You had other obligations that are too embarrassing to admit. I'm not going to say it out loud.
You can admit what it was.
Your bocce ball tournament.
Yeah, I play bocce.
That was more important than what me and Justin did Wednesday night. So last Wednesday night, we were able to get a few minutes with Jacob Fowler for this week's show. And in the interview, we said, you know, his time is very limited and his time is very valuable. I think we went through four reschedules when it was all said and done. Originally, the plan was we were going to talk to him over Christmas break, and that was going to happen. And then everything with the Team USA going to Sweden and him for the, you know, World Juniors and everything like that ended up not happening there. So we had to put it off, and then I talked to him a couple weeks ago about it. We had it planned for Monday, and then that wasn't going to work. And then we rescheduled it for Tuesday, and then that wasn't going to work. And then finally got it rescheduled for Wednesday night. And I will say, it wasn't us just continuously bugging him. You know, to Jacob's credit, like he kept rescheduling, and, you know, we're going to get this done. I'm going to do this. We're going to get this done. And we were finally able to get it done. So, you know, as limited as his time was, I mean, he really went out of his way to make sure this interview happened. So big credit to him for that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, not like he didn't have other important things going on this week.
Oh, yeah. Now, when we talked to him last Wednesday, they had played the game against UConn in the Hockey East quarterfinals and had won that game. We did the interview with him on Wednesday. And then it was last Friday, the semifinal game with UMass, which they won, 8-1, I believe.
Yep.
Something like that. And then, of course, the game on Saturday night, the Hockey East Finals with Boston University, where they ended up winning that game, winning the Boston East, the Hockey East Conference. So that won't be included in the interview because we actually recorded that a couple days before that all happened. Of course, like we just talked about, the Hockey East Conference, Boston College winning that. So, of course, Jacob Fowler and then former Phantom Jack Malone as a member of Boston College. I really could have done without the two long shots of Shane LaChance sitting dejectedly on the bench by himself. I really could have done without those.
You know, Shane has a long career ahead of him. I'm sure he'll win. Win something big at some time.
Yeah. I mean, for Youngstown fans, I mean, you're happy for Jack Malone. You're happy for Fowler. And then there's just the scene of you're happy for that. Happy to see him celebrate. And then there's just Shane LaChance looking all dejected on the bench with nobody around him. And then they did it twice. They showed that twice.
I feel like ESPN was trying to make him into the Jordan crying meme thing. And I agree. I didn't like it either.
So then you bump and then you start, you see some of these names, you start to realize why they go by the initials, the ECAC or the Eastern College Athletic Conference, Cornell walking away with that. So, with Cornell, we're talking Tyler Catalano and Winter Wallace. And then also, I put this plastered this all over social media, but, former Phantom Trey Taylor picking up the ECAC Defenseman of the Year, playing up there with Clarkson. And then I'm not saying these names anymore, the CCHA, that was Michigan Tech picking up that win. So you got Chase Patella and Nick Williams there. The Atlantic Hockey Conference, RIT or the Rochester Technitude, and oh my gosh.
Bless you.
In the Atlantic Hockey Conference. The Rochester Institute of Technology, or RIT, you can tell I never went there, having Gianfranco Cassaro. There's a name we haven't heard in a while. A really good name we haven't heard in a while. Gianfranco Cassaro there with RIT. And then Michigan State winning the Big Ten title. And, of course, former Phantom Tiernan Shouty. Again, another name we haven't heard in a while. But Tiernan Shouty picking up a conference title with Michigan State there. So congratulations to all of them. So now that all those tongue twisters and everything's done, how about we take a break?
It was well earned.
Yeah. I think I was having like mini strokes as I was reading through that. So I'll decide what I'm going to leave in.
All of it.
All right. So we're going to step aside for a minute. The weekend recap is coming up next with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
We at the Dump and Chase podcast believe that all kids who want to play hockey should have the ability to, regardless of financial barriers. That's why we support Black Bear Youth Hockey Foundation.
Through individual grants and sponsored programming, the foundation's goal is to increase youth hockey participation and ease the financial stress that many families undertake to afford equipment and ice time. Youth hockey cultivates friendships, teamwork, and a lifetime of memories.
For scholarship information, or if you would like to make a donation, visit blackbearyouthhockeyfoundation.com.
This is Grant Young from the Youngstown Phantoms, and you're listening to the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
We're back with the Dump and Chase podcast on the home of the Youngstown Phantoms, Western Reserve Radio. So the Phantoms this past weekend making the trek from Sioux City up to Fargo, with two games with the Force, of course, a rematch of last year's Clark Cup Finals, going pretty much the opposite of how it did last year. Yeah, Youngstown Friday losing 6-1, Saturday losing 3-2. So starting out with the Friday game, and I would say probably about the first half of the first period, it was just kind of like a feeling out period between the two teams. No penalties were called in the first or second period. But like no penalties were being called. And I think the referees were just letting everything go and you kind of got some flow to the game. The second half of the first period, some real good back and forth between these teams. And then Ryan Botterill there right at the end of the first period, 1 second left on the clock, put away his 23rd goal of the season, putting Youngstown up 1-0, which was nice. You're sending Youngstown into the locker room with some momentum. That was about as far as that went.
Yeah.
Fargo would go on to score the next 6 goals in this game, 2 in the second period and 4 in the third period, giving them the 6-1 win. Colin Wynn getting the start in this game, stopped 27 of 33 and had 2 penalty minutes. So going for the, well, no, he didn't have an assist, so that's not an Ivan Kolbakov hat trick.
No. an
assist and a penalty. so he was an assist shy of the Kolbakov hat trick. Yeah, this was one really good period by the Phantoms. I thought the second period, Youngstown only managed 5 shots on goal. And it just everything just kind of went downhill from there. And then the third period is when you started seeing the penalties and everything else, and quite a handful of them there in the third period. Everything just kind of the wheels fell off. And that was the ball game.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you go.
All right. So yeah, this is something we talked about early on in the year that, you know, it's the story of the year has been the Phantoms taking a lot of penalties, and it worked out in the beginning of the year because we were able to kill them off, and it's catching up to us now because we're not killing them off with the same percentage that we did in the beginning of the year. And the penalties that we are taking, you know, they're slashing penalties. They're penalties that are completely controllable. They're just, and I don't want to say dumb, but they're ones that we probably should not be taking. And I would like to give, you know, Fargo some flowers, you know, the broadcast especially. I thought they put out a very good, very good broadcast. I liked everything they do. Their commentator's pretty good. And I always like it when the team puts on, like when there's penalty minutes, I like when they put the, you know, the countdown of the penalties and stuff like that on there. But, you know, Fargo, they're a good team. They're as advertised, but I think when the Phantoms are clicking and playing, I think they're pretty even with Fargo, which is the consistency was not there for the Phantoms this weekend.
No. And a lot of this was, I think, kind of a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
They got in our head. We got to a point where I think we felt fairly early on, maybe if not in the second, early in the third, where we just were not going to make that comeback. I thought we did a lot better on Saturday at that. But even then, a lot of those goals are unforced errors. So mostly this was us fighting ourselves.
Yep.
And then, you know, and it's what became a theme of this weekend. Phantom special teams did him absolutely no favors.
No.
On the weekend. In this game, you know, Youngstown only had the 1 power play. They were 0-for-1. Fargo was 3-for-4 on the power play. And then when we get into Saturday, you're going to see similar numbers.
Yeah, that's not a recipe for winning hockey.
And then I think my favorite part, because I will say, like you said, I actually enjoy it's. We have our history of taking our shots at other teams' broadcasters. Fargo's mm-hmm. got a good one.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he calls the game. He calls what he sees. You don't have the editorials and everything else going on. I mean, he just called a good, clean game. You know, had a lot of information on the Phantoms. Did his homework for sure. Had a lot of information about various Phantom players and everything else. It's to my understanding there was actually some kind of contingent of Youngstown fans that went up to Fargo. Mm-hmm. And apparently were treated very well while they were up there. I mean, and that's the odd thing. It's we have this rivalry with Fargo based on, of course, you know, Clark Cup finals than anything. But it seems to be a, you know, much more, you know, respectful tone between the fan bases. Now, whoever selects 3 stars of the game for Fargo, on the other hand, apparently decide they chose pettiness. In this one, when they named the 3 stars of the game, Finn McLaughlin getting 2nd star of the game, who did have a goal in the game, actually was the game winning goal. So I can't understand that. Brandon Svoboda was the 3rd star of the game with his 1 assist. That one's a tiny bit more suspect.
I thought there were probably Fargo players and maybe even a Youngstown player or 2 that may have deserved more than,
Yeah, just looking here, I'm seeing Leo Gruba had 2 assists. I'm seeing players with more than 1 assist in this game, but 3rd star was given to Brandon Svoboda. So, but yeah, all the best to Finn McLaughlin and Brandon Svoboda. Moving on to the game on Saturday. Again, this was a 3-2 loss for the Phantoms. And you talk about, you know, Youngstown had a good first period on Friday. Second period started to get away from him. 3rd period completely got away from him. The first period on Friday kind of follow along that same pattern. I felt like the 2nd and 3rd period, Youngstown did a much better job, especially defensively. I mean, they were getting their opportunities, just Fargo's Hampton, Slinsky, or whatever his name is, you know, was able to keep him at bay. And he's the best goaltender in this league for a reason right now. Yeah, I felt like second and third period was a lot better effort by the Phantoms. Just when it was all said and done, just it wasn't meant to be.
I think, again, we continued the trend of a lot of unforced errors. These ones didn't maybe end up in the back of our net, but killed a lot of our offense. Just bad turnovers, not being able to get up on transition. Small stuff that we can definitely improve on.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I was looking at it, but I feel like there was a couple $1,000 worth of broken lumber on the ice. There was so many broken sticks, and you know, the Phantoms got called for two in a row, and we got scored on both of them.
Yeah, and they were both good calls.
Yeah, they were absolutely warranted, and that was the difference in the game. You know, Fargo made good on their chances with the man up, and the Phantoms did not.
Now, I will say, I think it was the first one. Fargo slipped a guy up the middle, and I mean, you've got to try to prevent a scoring chance. So if you're going to take a slashing call, but again, it ended up in the back of our net eventually. So,
yeah. So Youngstown, after the end of the first period, we're down 3-1. Ryan Botterill picking up the only goal for the Phantoms there in the first period. Second period would be the final goal of the game. Final goal for both teams, but that was scored in the second period. This was an interesting goal. Luke Osborne picking up his seventh of the season. I'd have to say this is one of the more interesting goals I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, just the fact that it was fed to him by Sasha Boumediene, which seeing a D-to-D pass end up in a goal is not that unusual. But when it's like in the face-off circle, with two forwards hanging back, I mean, if something goes wrong, it's not going to be good for you. But Luke buried it. So a great pass by Sasha.
You talk about defensemen pinching. This was, I think, more the extreme example of that.
Yeah. Both were a little bit deeper than we normally see.
Yeah, you got Sasha at the right faceoff dot, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, what is he doing that far down? And then he throws that cross ice pass. I didn't see who scored it right away. The puck goes in, and I'm like, oh, okay, good pass. And then it was like they come out of the huddle, and it was Luke Osborne. And I'm like, what the heck were they doing?
We're sitting there messaging each other.
And it's one of those, if it worked, so great. But if, like you had said, if like a pass deflected or.
Yeah, the shot's blocked.
It starts going the other way. Oh, buddy.
Yeah, so I mean, you're down. You lost the night before pretty badly. I guess if you're gonna take your chances, do it.
You know, if they don't score that's gonna be film study the next day.
Oh god, yeah,
yeah.
All right, so it is now time for the Dump and Chase podcast 3 stars of the week, and I will kick it off with the third star. That is Charlie Serrato, 2 assists this weekend. Coming up on a milestone here, he is only six points away. He is only 6 points away from 50 this year. So, I mean, you're talking about somebody who with the NTDP last year, only 16 points. So increasing that this season, currently a 44, coming in on 50. I want to think Charlie, I think, has kind of had the turnaround season he was hoping for when he came here.
I think that's kind of what we were expecting when we brought him in. Second star of the week, Sasha Boumediene, 3 assists. One of those, obviously, we talked about earlier. Great play, snapped an 11 game pointless streak. So he's someone who obviously wants to contribute and did that this weekend.
Yeah, Phantoms only scored 3 goals this past weekend. Sasha assisted on all 3 of them.
Yeah.
That brings us to our first star of the week, and that's Ryan Botterill. He had 2 goals in a weekend. He's working on a 7-game point streak right now. He's now 4 points away from 50 on the season. He is first on the team in goals with 24 and second on the team in points with 44. And I feel like his name, he finds a way to get his name on our list almost every week, it seems like.
Yeah. The Phantoms scored 3 goals this last weekend. He scored 2 of them.
Thank you.
So, these 3 were pretty much the bulk of the offense this past weekend. All right. So that will do it for 3 stars and the weekend recap. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you'll hear our interview from last Wednesday night with Phantoms legend Jacob Fowler. So keep it here with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dan.
And Chris. This is Pitchmen, the Steel Valley Soccer Podcast.
We cover all things high school soccer in the Mahoning Valley.
Catch our episodes on Spotify.
Or visit our website for the skill.
In the back of the net.
The teams.
Mitchell with the shot. Goal! Finds the back of the net.
And the soundboard.
Is the best net. For more information, go to steelvalleysoccer.com. Das
Boot. This is Hunter Ramos from the Youngstown Phantoms, and you're listening to Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
Welcome back to the Dump and Chase podcast on the home of the Youngstown Phantoms, Western Reserve Radio. So for this week's very special edition of Phantom Files, we welcome back to the show a reigning Clark Cup champion, the reigning USHL and USA Hockey Goaltender of the Year, a finalist for the Mike Richter Award for top goaltender in college hockey. I was just recently named All-Hockey East First Team and All-Hockey East Rookie Team. He is the backstop for the number one ranked college team in the country, Boston College Eagles. He is number one, Jacob Fowler. Jacob, I know your time is extremely limited and valuable, so thank you so much for doing this for us.
Thanks for having me back.
Totally different time crunch when you're in college.
So right off the bat, your guys is by the time this airs, this will actually be a couple weeks ago, but we're recording way earlier than we normally do. Your previous game against UConn, that was a heck of a game to watch. I'll tell you what, it's like watching these Hockey East games. It's almost like these like souped up USHL All-Star games.
Yeah, I mean, Hockey East and in general this year has been, you know, a pretty talented league, and there's definitely no nights off. And, you know, you mix that all into to playoff time this time of year, and, you know, nobody's ready to, you know, have their season ended. So definitely not the easiest game in the world, and happy the boys got it done.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were up in that game. UConn came back and tied it, and then our old friend Jack Malone helped get you guys back up by one. I hate to say we're used to you making these kind of saves because we've watched it for the last 2 years, but that save you made with about 30 seconds left on the deflection right in front of the net was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, probably wasn't the happiest camper in the world when, you know, we let UConn back in it, but, you know, Malone was unbelievable for us, and he got that fifth goal, and, you know, it was, you know, time to hunker it down and, you know, do whatever it takes to get up and stay ahead for the rest of the game, that's for sure.
So this weekend you have the Hockey East semis with UMass. I mean, how much are you looking forward to that? I mean, you guys are getting right down to it as far as the Hockey East tournament, you know, leading into, you know, the full NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this time of year is, you know, kind of the moments you live for. I think, you know, the big reason of me coming to a school like BC was to play in these games on, you know, Friday nights in the TD Garden. So, you know, for me personally, it's going to be an unbelievable experience, but, you know, I think you kind of put that to the side and, you know, kind of do whatever it takes to win that game and move on to Saturday night.
How long will it be until you and Shane LaChance are friends again?
I mean, I kind of had him the first couple times we played him. He got one back in game two, but, you know, we see each other, you know, frequently, so definitely good buddies as soon as you know, we're off the ice and not playing BU versus BC, but
I hear that's a little bit of a rivalry.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different, and, you know, houses divided in Youngstown, that's for sure, with the Billets. So it's been playing against him, but definitely like playing with him, you know, more than against him.
Now, did he, the one game he did get the goal against you, did he say anything to you during the game or like after the game about it, or?
Oh, he was in my ear all weekend. Anytime that big fella's in front of the net, there's always some words being said. So he definitely had the first laugh, but I got the last laugh in the first two games. So hopefully get the last one, you know, later in the year here.
So going back, you know, when we talked to you at the rally and everything else about that, there was one aspect of the playoffs last year. You had told me after the season was over, I kind of waited for you to be the one to tell this story, because it is your story to tell. During last year's playoffs, as well as you did, you were not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to say it was, we played Chicago and Cedar Rapids. I think it was two out of our last 3 weeks of the season. And, We played Chicago, and you know, I was starting to feel it pretty good and played through it, but then went to the doctors and got diagnosed with, you know, a high ankle sprain and a couple torn ligaments in my ankle. And I didn't go on the road to Cedar Rapids the next week. And then, you know, in my head, I'd been doing all the math about how many games left and if I'd be able to make it to playoffs, because we, you know, we were in a race to get that top two seed to get the first round bye. And, you know, I kind of gutted it out against the 17s the final weekend. And I got to give a big shout out to, you know, our support staff in Youngstown with, you know, Amber Martinelli and, you know, Tommy Malloy. They were, you know, first class with all the rehab and, you know, all the treatment that I was getting. And they're probably the main reason why I was able to even put my gear on for the last, you know, 9 games that we played. So I definitely felt it throughout the whole playoffs, but got to give a big shout out to them for kind of getting me through it.
But as soon as the clock hit zero there in game 3, you didn't feel it at that moment.
Oh, I mean, even after the celebration and everything, I still had to get in the ice bath with that for at least 5 minutes to numb that up. I mean, it looked like there was a softball on my ankle after after game 3, that's for sure.
The last time we talked to you on the show was, you know, at the rally, you know, right after you guys had won the cup. Now that you're, you know, now 10 months removed from that, I mean, how nowadays do you look back on, you know, what you guys did and what ended up happening?
Yeah, I mean, obviously in the moment, you know, you're kind of just trying to enjoy it with your teammates and the staff, because, you know, since the rally, we haven't all been together in, you know, one room since. So you obviously stay in contact with one another. But I think, you know, like you said, over these last 10 months, you do a lot of reflecting. And, you know, for me as a hockey player, I look at that as, you know, you always want to be a winner. I think, you know, each level you move up, people want you on your team the more that you win. And, you know, as a goalie, I want to be that guy that every time I'm in the net, you know, the staff thinks we can win. So I think what I took most out of the experience was that Coach Ward had the message that, you know, it's either you win or you have exit meetings. And, you know, we didn't want to have exit meetings at the end of last year, that's for sure.
Now, the current Phantoms, you know, coming down towards the end of the season, you know, looking at locking a playoff spot up here soon. I mean, what advice would you have for those guys coming into this stretch of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think personally it's about, you know, where you start. It's about how you finish. I think, you know, last year personally for our team, we had a lot of ups and downs. I mean, I think we started the year 2-6 or 2-7. So I think no team's ever out of it. It doesn't matter if you're in first place or, you know, you're just scratching your way into the playoffs. It's once you get in, it's what you do after. So I think they changed the format in the playoffs that after the first round, every series is best of 5. So I think, you know, I don't think too many teams can beat Youngstown 3 times. So I like their chances and, you know, rooting for them.
Last season ends, the rally's over, everything else. Just a few weeks later, we had main camp. We go walking into main camp and surprise, surprise, there you are. We just couldn't get rid of you. I think you might have scared Colin a little bit when he walked in and saw you there. We've heard his side of the story. He said he played it off cool, but so I got to talk to you then. This was leading up to the draft, of course. You had told me this story. I mean, I kind of got a chuckle out of it, so I'm, you know, going to ask you to, you know, tell the story again. When you went to the ceremony for where you won USA Hockey Goaltender of the Year, the prize that you were given for winning this award, it was a little big.
Yeah, I mean, when I found out I was kind of up for the award, it was all kind of a whirlwind. We were actually at the NHL Combine, and Knubel and I had to leave a day early and fly to Colorado, and you know, we were both accepting these awards, and I didn't know what the award was gonna kind of look like. I was kind of expecting maybe like a small kind of hockey figure, but it was a absolutely massive, almost looked like a painting the size of the frame. It was absolutely huge, almost the size of like my TV. So they thankfully they wrapped it, boxed it, and, you know, shipped it home to Florida, because I was living out of a suitcase pretty much all last summer. There was no way, you know, myself or my parents were gonna be able to get that from Denver back to Florida, that's for sure.
Were your parents able to find somewhere to hang it in the house, or did they just have to like stick it on the side of the house? Or
in full transparency, I have no idea where that is right now. I think it might be like in my room somewhere, just in, you know, picked up a lot of memorabilia over the last 10 months with, you know, obviously the new ring coming in. So I don't know where they've kind of put up all this stuff.
And the rate you're going, you keep adding to that trophy case as well. You've to say you've had success at Boston College so far has been an understatement. I mean, of course, you know, the season's not over yet. You're looking for more. You've got a pretty good haul so far. And the first time I ever talked to you, you know, you were out in Connecticut, you know, you're playing prep, putting up these ungodly numbers for a goaltender in prep hockey. That, you know, then you come to the Phantoms, you do what you do with the Phantoms, and then you move on to Boston College, and then you're doing what you're doing now. I'm trying to think of a way to say that it's not like, I mean, has it gotten harder every step of the way, or do you feel like you've been able to adjust maybe sooner than others would as you move up these levels?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think, you know, each level you kind of move up, the game does get, you know, a little bit faster, and, you know, guys get a little bit better. So I think, you know, fortunately enough, I was, you know, pretty well prepared coming out of Youngstown, and, you know, got to be around a staff that, you know, prepared us for this level. And I think for me, a big part of why I came here was going to be, you know, the resources and, you know, the people that were going to be in this locker room. And pretty fortunate to have, you know, 26 guys that can score at a high level and defend really well. And, you know, obviously have a really good coach. So for me, all of those have kind of made it an easier transition, and, you know, certainly not done yet, but, you know, I think there's still you know, a lot of room to grow as well.
Now we're going to hop around the timeline a little bit here. So you go to Nashville last summer. You ended up drafted by the Montreal Canadiens, you know, and then you talked about, you know, having family ties up there, you know, up in that area and everything else like that. What did that mean to you? I mean, we're all Penguins fans here. I mean, it's okay. You know, I know you're drafted by Montreal, but, you know, we know who you grew up rooting for, but, you know, as a storied franchise as that is, I mean, what did that mean to you, you know, going to Montreal there in the third round?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could have, you know, asked for a better place to get drafted. And, you know, like you said, I do have, you know, a lot of ties to Montreal and, you know, to that area in general. So I think, you know, my grandfather couldn't be there. He passed away a couple of years ago. And, you know, I definitely feel like his presence was there that day with me. And, you know, obviously super emotional for myself and for my family that was there. So I think kind of once you get that sigh of relief to hear your name called, it's that moment kind of sinks in where you, you know, get to put the jersey on. And crazy enough, Svoboda went two picks after me. So right after I was kind of walking out, I got to see him put his jersey on for the first time and kind of got to share the moment with him. So super surreal and, you know, certainly something that not a lot of kids and teammates get to have.
Yeah, because not only were you drafted, you were drafted along with, you know, five of your teammates. So, I mean, that just had to have been a heck of a time for you guys, especially that little, like, 7-minute block where three of you went.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of go through the process with them all year. You know, there's these little, you know, boxes you check throughout the year, whether it's, you know, the first time, you know, we'd interview with the team, they'd usually come in and meet with all of us. So kind of the big group that we had would go through it together and, you know, all being at the BioSteel game together, you know, minus Martin. It was, you know, pretty cool to kind of see how we were all able to handle it. And, you know, kind of that we all got to go through it together made it, you know, a little bit easier to kind of not think about it and get wrapped up in the whole draft talk and trying to just worry about going and winning games. So super cool. And, you know, definitely still keep those memories with me and stay in touch with all those guys.
Now, I had told you, I think it was like the day after the draft, I had told you the line that is now attached to you, you know, here in Youngstown, you know, national media, Canadian media, you know, your line that pressure is a privilege. So on a microphone, I'd like to say, you know, we're very thankful we were able to help you practice that line before the draft. I think we even named one of our episodes that last season. And it's, you know, the Canadian hockey press is, they're very dedicated, a lot more than they are in the United States. And, you know, and you had completely won them over, you know, not only with that line, but a lot of the other things that you were saying. You know, Canadian hockey teams can be very fickle about draft picks. You were one that was, I mean, I won't say universally because that's never going to happen. But I mean, for the most part, you were a very, you know, beloved draft pick of the, you know, draft pick of the Canadiens right away, not only with the fans, but with the media.
Yeah, I mean, I think something about me is, you know, I want to be a Montreal Canadian. I think a lot of guys kind of get drafted and, you know, they're kind of assigned to a team, when for me it was, you know, I have the privilege and the honor of being drafted to the most storied franchise in all of hockey. And, you know, I think for me, you know, I have pictures of me as a little kid wearing, you know, Montreal Canadiens jerseys. And, you know, for me to even have that thought in the back of my mind that, you know, I want to be a starting goalie in the Bell Center and have a career with the Montreal Canadiens kind of gives me chills. And, you know, I think every single day that's kind of the goal that I'm working towards. And I know the media and the fans up there, you know, are pretty crazy and, you know, they want their team to win so bad. And, you know, I think a big part of my game is, you know, I'm pretty competitive and, you know, want to win games. So I think for me, the biggest goal is, you know, you want to win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, I think to be able to do that in that market is something that, you know, they're really searching for and something I really want to be a part of.
How is it moving from like Youngstown, the media there, which, you know, to like Boston, which, you know, is kind of a major hockey market? Notice any difference there?
It's definitely been a little bit different. I think obviously the attention our team's been getting this year with the talent and, you know, kind of the superstars we have in this room, it's, you know, it's definitely something, you know, guys could get wrapped up in. And I think for us, it's understanding that you put yourself in this position because, you know, you want to be a professional hockey player. So kind of just treat it like a pro and, you know, kind of understand that, you know, it is a job now and you got to go out and perform your best every night.
So, I mean, you're a Florida kid, but you're kind of a Pittsburgh kid by proxy, you know, a Montreal draft pick. Has anything like that come up being in Boston, which is not, you're not going to find too many Montreal or Pittsburgh fans in Boston?
Yeah, certainly not too many Montreal Canadian fans here in Boston, but the few that are brave enough to kind of root for the Habs in Boston, they certainly show their support for me and come say hello or let me know that they're rooting for me here. And, you know, it's pretty special to see because, you know, the crazy thing about the Montreal Canadiens is, you know, their fans are the best for a reason, and you'll find them everywhere wearing a, you know, Habs shirt or a jersey.
All right. So just in general, how's college life?
It's been awesome. I think coming to a school in Boston, it's pretty wild to be, you know, kind of on a campus, but still be, you know, 5 miles from, you know, from downtown. So certainly a lot of sightseeing and, you know, still getting pretty acclimated to the city. It's a little different than my hometown of Florida and Youngstown, that's for sure.
What is it you're majoring in this year?
I'm majoring in communications.
Well, this year, like you're going to change it next year. Now, how's that been working out for you so far?
It's been good. You know, learning a lot, taking a lot of classes that, you know, for me that I find interesting and that, you know, hopefully can, you know, translate to the real world.
So before we let you out of here, is there anything you would like to say, you know, to, you know, former Billets, you know, teammates that are still on the team, you know, Youngstown fans who I'm positive are going to be coming out in droves for this episode?
Oh, man, I think there's obviously too many, you know, shout outs to give, you know, to specific people. But I think the biggest one would be I want to give a big shout out to my former roommate, Tori Pittner. Hopefully he's doing well over there. I keep in touch with him every once in a while, but root for the kid. He's obviously going through his draft year this year with, you know, kind of all the pressure that's on him now and, you know, being a returning player. So rooting for him, know he's going to do the right things. And, you know, obviously my Billets, stay in good contact with them and, you know, pretty much the whole staff in general. So certainly miss Youngstown and, you know, hope to be back soon.
All right. So, Jacob, again, we know how valuable your time is right now. I mean, anytime in the future you ever want to come back here, we'll make a spot for you. If I got to get rid of Justin, I'll do it. with it, you know what? With that communications degree, you know, way down the road when your career is over, we'll have a spot for you here on the show. Good luck against UMass. I mean, I know, well, by the time this episode comes out, that'll already be over with. But yeah, good luck against UMass this weekend. Hopefully get to see you guys in the Hockey East Finals and then hopefully seeing you in the Frozen Four here in a couple weeks. So definitely good luck to you. And thanks so much for coming back.
Thanks again for having me.
And with that, we're going to step aside for a moment. The weekend preview is coming up next with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
The This is Sam from the Dump and Chase podcast, and I would like to talk to you about Hockey Power Rankings, the new system for ranking youth hockey teams in the United States. Hockey Power Rankings allows teams to be ranked by their win-loss record and strength of schedule, instead of the outdated method of using a team's goal differential. This creates a more competitive balance in scheduling team seasons and tournaments. So if you're someone like me who wants to research the future of junior and college hockey, check out their website at hockeypowerrankings.com and follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is number 34, Sasha Boumediene from the Youngstown Phantoms, and you're listening to the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
We're back with the Dump and Chase podcast on the home of Phantoms hockey, Western Reserve Radio. So as far as the upcoming weekend schedule, we're going to take a look around the Eastern Conference, starting out on Thursday with our weekend opponent, Madison, traveling up to Plymouth for a game with the NTDP U17s. On Friday, Chicago will be at Green Bay for the first game of a two-game series there. Actually, all of these games will be the first of a two-game series. Save myself some time. So Chicago will be at Green Bay. The U18s are in Dubuque, and Muskegon will be at Cedar Rapids. And then pretty much all those same things again on Saturday. So the abridged version of the weekend schedule.
A normal USHL weekend.
Yeah, normal weekend for once. Actually, you know what? I had a note previously. I completely forgot to bring it up, so I'll bring it up now. So now we're getting down to the end of the season for most teams. You're not going to see any more interconference play other than, I think, like Cedar Rapids. So Youngstown in what ended up being 17 games against the Western Conference this season went 8-7-2. That record was a little better before the last two weekends.
Agreed.
It was, yeah, like 7-4-2 was the record. Went a little by the wayside there. So, yeah, going into this weekend's games at the Covelli Center with the Madison Capitals coming to town, these will be the final two games of a six-game season series between these teams. Youngstown currently leads the season series with two wins, a loss, and was it? Oh, overtime loss versus Madison this season. These teams last played on February 16th and 17th, with Youngstown losing the game on the 16th, 5-4, and then winning on the 17th by a score of 4-2. So last weekend, Madison, two games, lost to Dubuque 6-2, and then beat the U17s 5-1. And again, it is important to remember in everything we're going to talk about from here on out, again, that Madison will have that game on Thursday up in Plymouth with the U17s. So Madison coming into this weekend with a record of 27-22-6, that is good for 60 points and fifth place in the Eastern Conference. And they have won 9 of their last 11 games. Basically, if you look at like the last 10 games for every team, they've been the best team in the United States Hockey League. Youngstown coming into this weekend with a record of 28-19-8, that gives them 64 points and fourth place in the Eastern Conference. However, Youngstown has lost 7 of their last 9 games. So a lot of this is boiling down to Madison, especially if they get the win on Thursday, that'll put them 2 points behind Youngstown in the standings. Madison could be coming into this weekend with a ton of momentum and a ton of motivation.
No, it's a great time for a team to be playing their best hockey all year is right now. And Madison seems to be putting it all together, and hopefully Youngstown can course correct this weekend.
I mean, from my point of view, especially this weekend, but pretty much every game from here on out, you have to start playing this like you're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. As much as we've talked about, you know, can we, you know, we're sitting in fourth. Can we catch Muskegon? Can we catch Green Bay? It's reaching the point now, especially now Green Bay, you know, 7 points in the standings ahead of Youngstown. With 7 games left, Muskegon is 6 points ahead with 6 games left. It's coming down to the wire. And as much as, you know, paying attention to that, now you have to pay attention to Madison. If Youngstown does not get their, plain and simple, if Youngstown cannot get their act together here, I mean, we could be talking about Madison leaving Youngstown 2 points ahead of Youngstown in the standings. And now Youngstown is looking at, you know, having to play a road series in the first round of the playoffs.
And that is not something you want to do.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, Madison having all the momentum, having all the motivation coming into this weekend, because they could come out of this weekend with some great results. It's going to boil down to what is Youngstown's motivation? you know, we kept looking ahead to, you know, the next weekend with Green Bay coming in, you know, for a 3-3, you know, now it's with, especially with them being 7 points ahead. I mean, for Youngstown to catch up to Green Bay and even catch up to Muskegon, I mean, it's going to take a lot of wins, 7 games left. It's going to take a lot of wins in those 7 games.
Yeah.
You know, and some luck elsewhere. I'd hate to say this is a make or break weekend for Youngstown, but the dream of a first round bye is slipping away. And again, if they don't get their act together, being able to host a first round series could start slipping away.
No. Yeah. And I mean, you have to play with some sense of desperation at this point.
Yeah. I mean, every game, like Justin said, it's just one game at a time. You know, you can't win them all with one time. You can't win every single game just by wanting to do it. They have to go out there and they do it. And we've seen this Phantom team when they're clicking, when they're all cylinders are firing, they are unstoppable. And we've also seen them completely on the opposite side of the fence where they can't complete a couple of passes together. And it's just consistency. That consistency has been the Phantom's issue this year. Yeah. It's going to be a great game. You know, Madison's one of the main reasons they're playing so well is they got Austin Bernevec. He's leading the league in scoring. He's got 37 goals on the year, 63 points overall. And he's willing them to victory right now.
I mean, yeah, if you have to, it's 20 minutes at a time and you have to play that whole 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and talking, you know, once the playoff starts, all bets are off the table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Youngstown at home this season, you know, they have a 761 winning percentage at home. They have a 482 winning percentage on the road. There's, you know, almost a 300 point per, you know, difference there. So even if Youngstown, you know, does have to play in the first round, playing it at home is paramount.
Yeah. Sam, you asked what their motivation was. Those stats you just listed off, that's their motivation.
Yeah. It's just Youngstown cannot put together consistent games on the road. We've seen it all season long. So, I mean, it's if you want to hope to get into the playoffs, you know, and get some momentum going, I don't know if this team will be able to do it on the road.
And that said, out of the final stretch, only one game is on the road, and that's the U-17. So, I mean, we have a good chance at winning the majority of these games, but that is really kind of in our hands. And we have to play, like I said, I think with some degree of desperation.
Looking at the remainder of Madison's schedule, the U-17s, 2 games with Youngstown, 2 more games with the U-17s, Cedar Rapids, who is currently in 7th place in the conference, and finishing out the season with a home-and-home at Green Bay. You know, it's right now you can see more opportunities for them to get wins with the way they've been playing than we have. You know, looking up ahead, you know, the 3 games with Green Bay hasn't been playing the greatest hockey. So they're more of a 500 team right now. So it's as much as you want to look up ahead in the standings, they have to be cognizant of what is coming up behind them right now.
And as the fans go the rest of the year, they shouldn't even worry about what anybody else is doing right now.
Yeah.
Cause they're facing their own hands.
Yeah. It's, I'd love to say if they could win out, 7 games left, if they could win out, you know, it's a whole new ball game,
which is very possible.
But again, it just comes back to that, you know, can they be, they've lacked consistency. Can they pull it together at home? And I hope to God they do. I really do. And I think this is a team that could do it.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's up to them.
Well, I will say, I think the Youngstown fans have a good chance of making some sort of an impact here.
Yeah.
So we need to show up as well.
Yeah.
Well said.
So as far as that is concerned, for these games, Friday and Saturday night, puck drop both nights is 7:05. Friday night is YSU night. And again, also our 5-year anniversary. So we get to drop the puck.
And YSU students get to drink the beer.
So as has been the story of the podcast for the last 5 years, officially, this is YSU night. Unofficially, it is Dump and Chase podcast night. So we rock the unofficial hard. So unofficially Dump and Chase podcast night on Friday night. And of course, Saturday is the Easter game. They haven't released much about that yet. I'm sure more will be coming this week as far as what's going to be going on with that. So make sure you're keeping an eye on Phantom social media for more information.
Kids beating each other up on the ice for eggs.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
So if you do not have tickets to this game yet and you would like tickets to these games, you can call the Phantoms box office at 330-747-PUCK. That is 330-747-7825. And if you cannot make it to the games, of course, they will be available on Flow Sports and Western Reserve Radio with a voice of the Phantoms and friend of the show, Matt Lipsack, on the call. All right, gentlemen, unless you have any other thoughts.
No thoughts here.
No.
All right, so we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up this episode and look ahead to next week's show. So keep it here one more time with the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
Did you miss the last Youngstown Phantoms hockey game? Catch up with the Dump and Chase podcast.
He's a pretty big guy, and he was the only one with hair. I am, of course, talking about assistant coach Brandon Gockin. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for all your support. It's great, the stuff that you guys do and how much coverage you bring. I know we appreciate it a lot as a coaching staff, and our guys really appreciate it. So thank you so much for putting all this hard work in.
The Dump and Chase podcast, Wednesdays at 5, right here on Western Reserve Radio and the iMedia One Network.
This is Ryan Ward, the head coach at the Youngstown Phantoms, and you're listening to the Dump and Chase podcast on Western Reserve Radio.
We're back, and that will do it for this week's edition of the Dump and Chase podcast. A massive, massive thanks to Jacob Fowler for carving out some time to chat with us. And as always, a big thanks to all of our listeners, whether new or old, for tuning in this week. So on next week's show, we will be recapping the two games at the Covelli Center with Madison, and we will be previewing a 3-3 series at Covelli with the visiting Green Bay Gamblers. So you can hear this show every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on Western Reserve Radio, either on westernreserveradio.com, the Live 365 or TuneIn apps, the Western Reserve Radio Facebook and Twitter pages, and the Youngstown Phantoms Facebook page. You can catch this show in its podcast format on Apple, Spotify, YouTube Music, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can find us all on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And of course, the merch store for the show, you can find all of these links on the official website. That is dumpandchasepod.com. So before we get out of here, to my co-hosts, Dan Conley and Justin Irwin, any final words of wisdom?
Just to mirror what Justin said earlier. I hope to see everybody at the Covelli Center and hope to help the boys get two dubs on the weekend.
Yeah, that's all I got is we need butts and seats and people to cheer for the team.
Alrighty, so as we wrap up, remember that hockey is a sport played on ice with sticks and a puck, and our podcast is a thing you just listened to. See ya.
So we're going to Captain Planet this puck all together, dropping it at one time here?
I have no idea how this works.
Our powers combined, we are the Dump and Chase podcast.